Yeah, delighted to have you back on. I think it was 6 months ago, 7, 8 months ago, and I remember you very distinctively for your numismatic angle on precious metals, but general bullishness. How you been keeping, and how's the world in your eyes?
Well, the world is in a very interesting place. I've been just fine, but really rushing to finish out my strategy because I really don't like what I'm seeing regarding liquidity in the markets, regarding how central banks are changing the definitions of money, things like that. So, yeah, I've been paying attention.
I think we were discussing, we've had a lot of good, interesting people that it seems they're going to, in spite of the dovish inflation info that came in tomorrow, it still seems that there's going to be more interest rate rises to come. Daniel DeMartino Booth thinks half. Tom Luongo thinks maybe 0.75 even in December. But we're going to keep tightening until a credit-based event. That's the take from a number of people. The question I think I want to start with you is, our beloved precious metals improved a little bit on the pivot friends because they think there's going to be funny money created. But I think the pivot people are wrong. We're not going to go straight to that stimulus. It's not going to come as quick as they're planning. I think it's got to get a bunch worse. How do you think this plays out? How the dominoes falling?
Well, I heard you talking about bifurcation, and we're actually seeing that in the metals market as well. So when you're referring to the spot gold market, that's a contract market. And even whether it goes up or down today is really more about traders than it is about reality, because in the physical world, premiums are going up pretty substantially. Availability is declining pretty substantially. So we are seeing, that shift that's occurring as people really fly to true safety. And there's been an outflow from stocks, bonds, money funds, et cetera. So, yeah, are people running away from the fiat money products now into real tangibles?
I like it. Yes, and I think we have started to see, as you mentioned, premiums. We've got a relationship with a bullion dealer in the UK that is providing a large part of the pan-European area, that time zone, and also on the US side, and the UK guy, particularly in light of the recent events in terms of pensions in the UK, which I'm sure you would be up to date on, and
Oh,
the no
yes.
bid situation, and then the Bank of England having to step in. There, he had a 618% increase of financial professionals purchasing metals with, I can't tell you what I'm seeing, but it's scaring the bejesus out of me. Don't quote me, don't use my name, but things are not well. That's kind of insider type purchaser, which I call very much leaky ship stories. I just found
Yes.
that particularly interesting as well as an inside. We had Daniel DeMartino Booth talking about the China situation and a lot of Chinese holdings in the US being sold because they're not wanting to allow too much mark to market to take place on the property building prices in China in lieu of things going on.
Right.
It does feel like a massive contraction, and the people are keeping the music playing and they keep dancing, but the Titanic has hit that iceberg some time ago. But there's a lot of denial in the system, and that debt markets need a reset to a reval point. And that point is probably way beyond the interest rates that sees this economy survive in its current place.
Absolutely. I would absolutely agree with everything that you just said. And I would also add on that globally, central banks have added more gold in the third quarter. So we haven't even hit the fourth quarter yet. And yet, this is the highest level of gold buying that's just taking place through the third quarter ever, ever.
And it
So
didn't
it's
include
probably
Russia and
not such
China's
a cold.
numbers. It didn't include two
Pardon
of the
me?
biggest. It didn't include two of the biggest accumulators, Russia or China's numbers either.
Right. So what does that tell you? I mean, who really knows how close we are to the end of this fiat money's life cycle than central banks? And part of the problem and part of the big risk is that what they're really trying to do right now is claw back their credibility, which they gave away to the markets, what, last August, when they kept vowing a 50 basis point move and then did the 75, and then the markets go, oh, wow, well, we can't trust this forward guidance, which has been a huge tool since 2008, 2009. So that puts us in a really dangerous position. And, you know, as you said earlier, they're going to keep hiking until something breaks. And I think what's happening in the UK is the canary in the coal mine, because this is really a crisis of credibility. And in any con game, you've got to have your victims have confidence in you.
Correct.
And and that's all the problem with rapid inflation for the central banks and for the government as well, because if it makes it to the public, it becomes more obvious the loss of purchasing power value.
Yep, the faith is fraying. The faith is fraying on the debt side very much. We've had the Japanese, as we've mentioned a couple of times, a number of days with no bid, no volume trading, holding up that 0.25% yield. So it does seem, it's just perverse, isn't it? And it just seems the overproliferation of debt, a lack of buying. Could we see the repatriation of US debt and treasuries back to the States? I was asking this above the others, because what we're seeing potentially is China is going to sell off debt. I think Russia's most of the way out of their debt holdings that are US Treasury related, seeing it as part of the dollar support, seeing as part of unwinding themselves for the future BRICS system. And then there's not enough buyers, or is Europe going to soak it all up on account of it's a better yield than their debt? It's like a marginally cleaner shirt.
I love that, marginally cleaner. But if nobody else will buy it, well, the Treasury is talking about stepping in and buying it. And in reality, the Federal Reserve began buying Treasuries, I believe it was December 13th of 2002.
Yeah.
But it was kept very hush hush until all of a sudden it was like a good thing, which was in 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
Right. And now the Treasury is going to step in. So we're looking at the foundation of the global markets actually crumble. And, you know, it really, I just had a volatility index on the 10-year treasury, which they used to have on stock charts, but they've discontinued that in 2016. Not a shocker, because what you could see in that graph is you can see when the traders took over the treasury market. But the reality is every single thing in the world has become a financial product. So even when we're talking about inflation, you know, a big part of me goes, well, how much is real inflation and how much is it the traders pushing up the price of energy and food and all of these things? Because the derivatives trade, I mean, it used to be, you know, legitimate, and in some cases it still is. I mean, if I'm a farmer and I'm growing a crop that I have to sell in September, and I don't know what the weather's going to be like, I don't know what's going to happen between now and September. So I'll buy, if I'm going to sell in the future, I'm going to buy a put and to guarantee that I make my minimum amount of money. But the speculative trades that are going on inside of the banking system and the shadow banking system dwarfs what legitimate derivative trades to make sure that you can, whoever's manufacturing, can live another day. So I'm wondering how much of all of this is contributed by the traders, and therefore, if we see a little bit of cooling, how much of that is also being contributed by the traders to lull people, to lull the central banks into a false sense of security. Because they're not really in control. The central banks are not. It's Wall Street that's in control.
Yeah. In fact, we've had a couple of interesting guests, and it's so amazing that there's a couple of themes that come out of all the smart hive minds that have participated, of which, of course, you're one. And one of them was highlighting the anti-financialization of everything. You want to be short or out of all aspects that are financialization of everything. And the nation states that are reliant on that. So the UK and London, it's no surprise that the pound is falling. And they, of course, gave up coal mining. They gave up manufacture, and they went all in services, which a large amount of that is, rather than the US that at least has a strong tech, British are mainly financialization of everything and the derivative contracts in London. Right. And it does feel like those are going to be the absolute decliners, and we're going to go back to the physicalization of everything. And the whole metaverse is like the new .com. It's first had a boom and everybody loves the idea, but we've got to have a 10-year bust before you then get an Amazon coming out of this, and everybody's running around with goggles on and having a virtual existence. And that's probably Chris McIntosh just before he was suggesting, you know, that's a decade and a half maybe even before that, all of that stuff really takes hold. So that has a wash, and we have a major commodity boom in the meantime. And he was, we're just stress testing some of the things you're saying. He's saying the first order of things is always energy. This has been the inflation is always actually the energy. And then the gold runs after, you know, their costs go up with the energy and the diesel. And then the second order, the golds will run, the fertilizers because of farming, lots of diesel. So we've had a fascinating discussion on how that all is panning out there. And of course, all those things have now had the drawbridge closed on them, because ESG says you shouldn't be investing in that, and that's all bad and prognostic, given it a bad social score, let's just say. It's in Facebook jail, or whatever we want to call it at the moment. And as a result, now you actually, those players that have survived that are already funded are actually had the drawbridge dropped, and they're in the Warren Buffett's oligopoly of unopposed. And those areas now look really exciting. And the second order will follow through on the metals. What premiums are you hearing of? I know you're engaged in the numismatic. What's your intel generally? Because your core competence as well is precious metals and the dealing therein and numismatic side. What's your anecdote for us if there's anything that's been happening?
Well, you know, the premiums were trading at the lowest level that we've ever seen historically. And so that has begun to shift. And as even as we're watching spot, which is just a contract, decline, we are watching the premiums on the collectible coins expand again, as well as on just your base metals, whether it's gold or silver. So, but here's the thing. The physical market is based upon, really actually based upon supply and demand. So those traders are not in there moving the prices. We're watching huge increases in bar and coin demand for individual investors. The only area that we're really seeing a decline in is in technology because of lower demand, as well as in ETFs and that kind of, right, and that kind of thing, which are just paper products anyway. China's looking like their premium on just regular gold is at all-time highs. So, and China's been accumulating, huge accumulator of gold. I mean, we have really don't know how much gold they have, but they've certainly allowed their citizens to accumulate it and hold it in the bank, which makes it very easy to take away should they choose to do that.
Yeah.
Right? This. So it is, but I would also say that I've been studying currency life cycles since 1987. So while my expertise is in this area, it's because this is sound money, gold and silver, physical, in your possession, that runs no counterparty risk and is the only financial asset that has this level of history, 6,000 years, 5,000 years of history, of fighting inflation, holding its purchasing power value. And when I think we're going to see it expressed towards somewhere near its fundamental value, will be when they do those overnight resets. So when the public has lost all confidence in the system that's currently in place, and we're close. We are so close. That's why inflation is so important. It's not even the inflation, it's the expectations, right? That's why that's so critical, because I believe that when the public has lost confidence in the system, that's when we're going to get the hyperinflation. And history, because there's no purchasing power left, and history shows that in order to regain that confidence in the public, whatever that new money is, will have a component of gold in there to generate that confidence and stabilize that value. Not at 100%, but will generate that confidence and stabilize the value. And then they'll start to erode that again.
And timing, when do we think? I mean, it's the hardest question. 2023, we've got this escalating interest rate environments. We've probably got a half a point in December. There could be another half, assuming nothing's broken in Feb. We go into the new year in essentially a proper recession that is turning worse, and we don't do normal recessions. And we've got an increasing interest rate hike, with most of the existing hikes not really biting yet, because many people will have to refi their houses and haven't done so yet. So they're still on their discount deals or whatever the case may be. How long do we wait before we have our credit event or banking event, Lynette? Because it can't be...
I think that it's somewhere before June 30th of 2023.
Yeah.
Because that's when that transition from LIBOR to the new benchmark, it'll be different depending upon where you are in the world. That's when they are finally going to have to do it. And I've had a lot of people say, and I mean, look, this is not within my control. Well, what if they just postpone it again, like they did back in 2020 or 2019 when they ran the test? Well, but as of January of 2022, all new contracts have to be issued against that new benchmark.
Yeah.
So I think we're at the end of this can kicking. I really do. And I think, you know, I've been saying it since the beginning of the year, that 2022 is a pivotal year because of that transition. I don't believe they can do it. Wall Street actually doesn't believe that they can do it. That's why it was so hard to get them to adopt any other benchmark, and they continue to use LIBOR primarily until January of 2022, where they had no choice.
Yeah.
But all those contracts, I'm sure a bunch of them have that fallback language in it. And I know they changed laws and created safe harbors so that consumers cannot sue. When they open up their statement, I mean, what do you think is going to happen to the population when they open up their credit card statement and it goes from $1,000 to $3,000 and they didn't buy anything? But it was simply because of the change of valuation between LIBOR and in the US and SOFR.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think that's I think they need a major credit event before then. So I think it'll be sometime before that.
And given the nature of major events, they are brutal and violent and sudden, that the eventual turn in rates, as I say, people keep saying pivot, and I think there'll be a change, cutting of rates, but I don't think they'll be as fast to do the stimulus. Eventually it will come, and eventually it will happen potentially. It's possible or likely, but it won't be immediately. But then they'll realize how much trouble they've caused, how much, and then we will probably fall back down, as I say, to probably zero. And then will that be a big catalyst for PMs? In your opinion, we first have initially the paper price, as you call it, their derivative spot,
right?
CFD dip exceedingly low. Premiums probably fatten quite a lot, because this time there's going to be even less believers.
Exactly.
More and more people will be buying the paper dip, and the premium will expand. But nonetheless, the price will probably still come off. You'll probably have delivery shortfalls, something else, undersupply.
Yes.
how you see it, and I agree with your H1 next year, sometime during the next 6 months on the new year. I've even gone for the Hong Kong peg in Q1, a little bit aggressive. Maybe I should have said H1 and got myself quarter two as well, but who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody really knows. But when we talk about the pivot and lowering rates and printing lots of money, you have to understand that they have a very limited tool set. So until they can really create the CBDC and have a big enough crisis to just give everybody a bunch of CBDCs so that people can at least for a minute buy their food and keep shelter over their heads. A pivot, I think there will be a big pivot. They will never admit that it's their fault because they never admit that it's their fault, even though it is all their fault. So I don't think we're going to see, but when they turn, because what other tools do they have? They have interest rates, which they're trying to raise. The last time they tried to do that, 2016, what happened? We actually caused a crisis in the money markets in September of 2019 that became apparent. And coincidentally, everybody gets to have an opinion on that. Then the pandemic hit, not that much longer. So I do think we are going to see a pivot. It will be when something is broken, like what happened with the Bank of England. The Bank of England's credibility is crap, and they put their foot on the gate, on the brakes and the gas. They're all doing it though, putting their foot on the brakes and the gas pedal at the same time, raising rates, putting their foot on the brakes, and then going in and buying back
Buying
those
debt.
bonds, and then turning around and liquidating some bonds. I mean, it's a mess, and they've got to get the CBDC, central bank digital currencies, in place so that they can attack your principal through negative rates.
I think that's,
Because they've already got the purchasing power.
I think the CBDCs come out next. I don't think people realize how well prepped many of the, particularly the other nations are. The Fed's probably a little reluctant because it's the end of dollar dominance, maybe, if that whole game changes. Doesn't have to be, but could be as part of this. Do you see any equities, Lynette? Do you follow? I mean, as a precious metals fan, what do you think? Because the gold equities have obviously lagged. Diesel's been super expensive. We were talking about it. The extraction costs have
Yes.
gone up
And
immensely. And so
yeah.
they've had margin compression. Prices have moved, but not enough for input costs. Are we going to have a merger, a good merger that sort of kind of call it a bottom of market, even though the prices aren't at the lows, but they're probably at low margin, quite not the greatest margins. Do you have any equities you like? Do you have any of that you watch? Would you participate in that, or are you mainly interested in the monetary instrument of holding the metals itself?
Yeah, at this point, there isn't one doubt. Having studied currencies and currency life cycles since 1987, there is absolutely and has been zero doubt in my mind that we are at the end of this currency's life cycle. So when you talk about equities, when I convert equities, what do I convert them into? I convert them into dollars that have, this happens to be a Zimbabwe dollar, but this is a, what is this? This is a $10 trillion Zimbabwe
I got
dollar, right?
one.
Right. What can you buy with it?
Nothing.
Nothing, right? You can't even buy three eggs with it.
No.
So I don't participate in the equity market or the bond market or any of those fiat markets. I'm an ex-stockbroker. I mean, I have a high level of comfort with all of that crap, and I see how really convoluted and manipulated it all is. So in the future, I expect to participate, but I want to see a bottoming. And we have all these zombie companies. Can you really figure out which ones are actually zombies or not? Because it's a little challenging. The credit services help, hide that fact. A lot, the banks help hide that fact. So it's very challenging to know. So I am waiting to see who will survive what we're about to go into. I don't want to convert it back into fiat money
No.
because that has no value to me,
Yeah.
right? Especially when we go into hyperinflation. So
I
yes, right now, food, water, energy, security, barterability, wealth preservation, community and shelter, that is my focus.
So that's full on prepping for the Great Reset and all the riotous
Absolutely.
behavior, and gold as currency for transaction, or silver and any smaller versions thereof in nuggets, etc., etc. No, I love that and I understand that, and I think there's a great value to that.
Right.
Part of me was, yeah,
I mean,
go ahead.
I don't think you can see this, but this is a $1 gold coin. It's about, half the size of my pinky fingernail. Originally, a $1 bill or a $1 gold coin would have bought you 11 loaves of bread back in 1913. Today, this little 20th of an ounce of gold, I don't know exactly today, but I just did this calculation a few weeks ago. It was like 133 loaves of bread.
Yeah.
This holds your purchasing power. This stuff does not,
Yeah. No,
by
no.
design.
Absolutely. You're preaching to the complete converted. The only reason I ask on equity is, will contract law and being a minority equity holder, all of that, can it bridge this great collapse? So there's a chasm occurring. We are saying half year, H1 2023, some form of credit event. It might be the final domino that brings the whole thing to a head, debt markets collapse. And then the next time you wake up, you're on the other side of the chasm. And we are now in the CBDC's world, all new rules, new bosses, leaders, whatever, new UBI for all those that have been crushed. Will contractual equity ownership, shared ownership, it's paper, it can survive that transition, because many of the wealthiest people, the people that are actually going to bring this change on our head, are equity owners themselves. So they like equity law and they will transfer wealth. And I imagine it will bridge potentially that, and shares in somebody who does something useful, whether it's fertilizer company, diesel producer, or a gold miner. Should be one of the few things that actually still holds validity post this strike, lightning bolt event.
Okay, so you said a couple of things in there, and one of the things that you mentioned was that, okay, this whole big event happens and then we shift into something new, CBDCs with new leaders. First of all, when we go to a CBDC, that does not mean anything is fixed. All that means is that we've gone to the next level
Of fiat
of
system.
wealth transfer,
Yeah.
right? Because now what CBDCs do, number one, money originally had four functions. It was a tool of measure, a tool of barter, a tool of short-term store of value so that you were fairly paid for your labor, and a long-term store of value. I can't, so that no matter when you use that money, you are always paid fairly for your labor.
Yeah.
I can't tell you when, I mean, it's more accurate by taking the long-term store of value away because it was baked into the monetary cake. But what they're talking about with CBDCs is taking away this, even this short-term store of value.
Yeah.
So now you get paid, it immediately goes into a bank account that is charging negative rates.
Oh, I got that. Yeah.
So,
But use it or
right?
lose it. Yeah, use it or lose it. Oh, the faith is not in the CBDC. I have no faith in the CBDC. I'm more talking about the certificate of ownership in equities. If you made an investment in equities today, will that bridge safely to whatever new system we will have? Surely it will, because a lot of these World Economic Forum, Davos type, are inherently share owners, fund owners, use corporate vehicles, have equity. So there will be things that carry over. We're not all going to lose all the.
Well, correct. Nothing ever goes to zero. But it drops pretty substantially when you revalue this currency by 99.5%,
Yeah.
like we've seen in Venezuela 3 times. And so, would I want to be holding equity in there? No, I wouldn't. I want to capture my gains, hold it in something that I know is undervalued. And then, when I see an accumulation pattern, that's when I start to convert. Right
Yeah.
now, would I convert? Heck no. Why would I do that? It makes no sense to hold most of my wealth in an overvalued instrument that's in a long-term negative trend versus holding most of my wealth in a long-term positive trend that I know is undervalued. So, will those laws stay? Will those shares remain valid? I think that yes, if they can survive it, and they're not too highly leveraged, like we just saw with FTX, right? Leverage is great on the way up, but it really is not good on the way down.
No, it bites.
Right. So I do think that the rule of law will remain in those equity shares. I just don't think now is the time to hold your wealth there. And owning gold stocks is not the same thing as owning a physical coin.
I agree. I agree. No, it's the two different things. We were just talking about the spread of energies that have been hated, smashed, destroyed. ESG banned, unfinanced, everything that could possibly happen. They've been absolutely smashed. And now everybody's short of coal, everybody's short of gas, everybody's short of tankers that move gas and stuff around. And we're saying this is a very interesting market and very leveraged plays to those things. Do you risk having contractual paper? Because it's still an equity, but some contractual paper has to survive because they are going to want their holdings also, which are on contractual paper, to survive. So, is there a risk, or should we just be all in on the metal side for the preservation? And this is the great
I
question.
think that is the great question, and I think that everybody needs to do what they are comfortable doing. Personally, I have been on these markets on some level since 1964. So, I personally don't feel like I need those paper contracts. Because frankly, if you don't hold it, you don't own it, and I sleep much better at night not worrying about what the market gyrations are, what the traders are doing. So at this moment, I'm all in, but I have a high level of comfort. I've been trained in this my entire life. I mean, I was a banker, I was a stockbroker, but my uncle was a dealer in fine antiques. And when you look at, if you look at the dynastic wealth stool, well, what is that? That's wealth. Dynastic wealth is wealth that lasts in families at least 300 years. Well, what is that made up of? Truly rare collectibles, not because Franklin Mint says it, but truly rare collectibles, like a Rembrandt or a piece of Fabergé or something like that. Real
Property and gold.
estate and gold. Voila, those are the 3 legs. I don't see stocks in there. I don't see
No,
equities
stocks go
in
through
there.
cycles. They crash. And IBM today is Xerox tomorrow. And definitely, it was more just for its time and for a season. Nothing is forever apart from gold, property, and as you mentioned, very, very unique, rare collectibles. In fact, there was that one book, I think Tony Robbins did a book on money. It was his journey to kind of get more money literate. And I think the one legacy Italian family, which was, as you described, generational wealth, they had a 33 and a third rule, and you just named them. And they had a third in each. And it's difficult to buy property. It's a wealth tax tool, as we were discussing with many of the other guests at the moment.
Absolutely.
We're going into a very communistic kind of vibe where they're going to play the middle class against the lower class and say, create hatred and resentment and antagonism. Metals are a little more
Divine
portable.
counterpoint fingers.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
right.
Oh, metals are a lot more portable.
Indeed,
They are.
indeed, indeed. Just out of curiosity, I've seen a little bit of a livening on platinum versus gold and silver on a relative charts basis. Of course, it was destroyed because of the industrial use that died, and then palladium ate a lot of its dinner and had a super run. And we technically have started to see on the bigger time frames, it's now actually going up in percentage terms more than gold, and even a little more than silver. And I'm just wondering, given its immense scarcity, if you've ever seduced to have a small sniffings of it in your pot as well. It's about 30 times more rare than gold and has very unique properties.
That's true. And from time to time, I actually have bought platinum coins, but they are not monetary metal. And I do, so I do, yes, own some platinum.
Yeah.
But primarily in jewelry form, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because for me, none of this is a trade.
No.
You know, now on the other side of this, well, maybe that will change. But where we are right now, and with how much of a conviction I see, I mean, really, I came to ITM in 2002 after my formulas confirmed that we were at the end of this currency life cycle. So, you know, I've been preparing and getting ready for it for a long time.
Yeah, a couple of decades.
This is where we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't care. I would always rather be, I don't care if I'm 10 years too early. I just don't want to be 1 second too late.
Yeah.
Because that's when you lose all everything of your choices.
Everything. Yeah. 100%. What's your take on property side of things? Because generally it's a good asset, but for this global political environment we're in, maybe it's a better asset to, going into the BRICS, buying, imagine how much you could buy in, say, Turkey with the Turkish lira in terms of land and farming versus the rather steamy Western prices and all the political direction. If you look at the trend of the political, the wokery of Canada, Australia, you know, Bidenomics, various other places, and the others more pragmatic, more family oriented, not taken in with the same agenda to the same degree. How do you, would a property investment still be worthwhile, but just not in the Western realm?
Well, you know, if you're looking at trading, that would be a big fat no, because again, real estate has been turned into a trading product.
Yeah.
And the goal for those of us that actually own our properties is to be able to carry the equity on our phone.
Yeah.
And then that shortism so that we actually spend our equity and we don't even realize it and we can't blame anybody else because we chose to do that. So as an investment right now, that would be no anywhere in the world, even including Turkey.
Yeah.
However, having said that, I've done many studies over the years on what happens to real estate during these transitions. So let me come back to that. Because I first want to say, I own two properties. I own, but I live in both, okay?
You use
I
them.
Live yeah. here in my, I'm in central Phoenix, dead central Phoenix. And then I have a bug out location, which I'm not going to tell you where that is, but I can get to it pretty quickly from my property.
Yeah.
And I'm building a whole community to support 40 people up there.
Yeah.
Which is not easy or cheap,
no.
But definitely it's about being able to grow your own food, make sure you have plenty of water, which in Phoenix we're in a drought, but I've got plenty of water in that other location. So, you know, you got to have a place to make your last stand. And that's what, if you don't have that yet, you need to consider that. Okay.
Yeah.
But as an investment to flip and make money on, at this point, no. Having said that, according to my studies, globally on average, 25 ounces of gold will buy an entire city block, buildings and all. And you made mention of Turkey. We're not at the bottom in Turkey yet, but you can see that that's a great example of how cheap real estate will get at some point.
Yeah.
Then again, we look for that accumulation pattern because that indicates that you're somewhere near a bottom. And that's when you start to convert some of this, which at that point, by the time that happens, we should at least have one overnight reset. So gold can be used to acquire real estate when that's severely undervalued, but it can also be used to make sure that you can always, like I like gold Swiss francs for that, if you can get your hands on them. I think they're a little scarce these days. But there's fractional gold coins that can help ensure that you'll always be able to pay your property taxes, which you mentioned. That's a big threat to real estate because that's immovable property. And as you said, I can't put that on my back and walk away. But if you can have the whole property paid off and you can't pay your property taxes, guess what? You lose. So gold can ensure that you can always pay those property taxes, and I do it with fractionals, so small pieces, and then also have the ability when you know where the dust has settled, where the laws have changed, where you can go in and then buy real estate that you can then generate income from. But not yet.
I love what
Now
you've
it's
been
time
saying.
to accumulate undervalued.
I love what you're saying. Basically, in terms of don't try to be excessively cute and time this market. The era is now for capital preservation in a collapsing system that is debt-based, where we actually have Ponzi-nomics trying to retain crazy valuations on an overly proliferated debt system, of which Japan at 0.25, and God knows what true inflation they face over there with their exposure to energies and having to import all of that. UK, how many places do we need to have this proven to us? The debt-based system is in a zombie, it is in failure, it is being maintained. The Fed sent I don't know how many trillion to various banks a while ago. It was, I think, around about 25. That news article came out and then it was crushed, and I saw no further reference to it. I mean, they are literally hiding things that are embarrassing to the true state of the sclerotic nature. This liver is done. The patient is yellow. He's part dead. He's on the heart machine. You've got to be playing defense right now. You've got to hunker down. And there's only one thing that preserves value. It's something you can hold in your hand, and it's got to have the history of millennia. And it's not just 3 or 4,000 years. It probably goes well beyond that, given that we've been around far longer than most people admit. And you're right on it. And you prefer the known monetized metals of gold and silver. There are exotics like platinum that will still probably do okay, but it's a little bit more of quasi-industrial,
Right.
an expensive industrial
Right.
metal. Stay with the knowns. And the truth of the matter is, you're going to be around and you're going to be doing just fine. And you're going to be unloading that gold and using the silver transactionally. That gold
Right.
is the money of kings and silver the money of gentlemen. Barter is the manner. You've mentioned it yourself. We have spoken about your last stand prepper reset place, which is something that's very key to me. We have an awesome community as well. I'd like to offer them more in that space. So I think, I think you've made your case really, really well. What was the great awakening for you this year, and what do you think? Particularly as I don't think your views changed, you've just been on it early. But for others,
Yes.
what have you seen in others that they've suddenly started to awaken to? Because I've seen things a lot more. I used to be a tinfoil hat nut job. Now we still fringe media, but we're not near as fringe as we once were. More of the mainstream seems to be moving, shifting our way, or parts thereof. What is the great awakening that you've noticed around you, and where does that tell you that we are in terms of the cycle?
Yeah, I would say the inflation and the rapid and high inflation has been the great awakening for a lot of people that realize, and hopefully for many people, it's not too late. You know, if you're in the lower income, it's going to be harder now because of the cost. But I would say that it's the rapid inflation that has caused the public to begin to waken up and why we're not so fringe anymore.
Exactly. And they're
I don't
starting also, more
consider
importantly,
myself French.
we've had inflation before, but that was a long time ago, and that was Volcker years. How this time they're more aware of the origins thereof, and the fingers are pointing a bit uncomfortably close to a lot of the central bankers. Yeah, I love
I sure
that.
hope so.
You got great props,
You know,
Lynette.
I do. Oh, I have some shrinkflation props too. But yes. I mean, that's really it. And that's what puts the whole system in jeopardy, right? If they can keep it at 2% inflation, they rob you of your purchasing power, but it happens slowly enough that you don't notice it. Up at 8, 9, 10, 7%, whatever, if that's even real, right? I mean, they juggle those numbers. But day-to-day living, when you go to buy anything, yeah, maybe it costs you the same, but the packaging is a lot smaller, right?
Yeah.
So you're actually paying a lot more. And that to me is what the Great Awakening is. And that gives me a lot of hope
Yeah. So people are starting
because
to
there are more of
see.
us.
They're starting to see the
Yes.
shrinkflation. They're starting to see the central bank policies being directly related to the devaluation of their money. And actually, FTX failing, we didn't discuss that in any great detail, but has crypto not also served as a large reroute away from precious metals for people that were already starting to see these things? And if there's
A
cynicism that
hundred
comes
percent.
for crypto, is it not going to benefit potentially people going, you know what, I should have gone to the good old school tool against debasement instead of getting this involved in this created digital scarcity scheme?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And something else that I've been so consistent about, when you study currencies and currency life cycles, what you see are repeatable patterns. And what I saw with crypto coming out in January of 2009, a couple months before QE started in March of 2009, was exactly what you were talking about. It was a way to divert, because the concept is great. You have a decentralized, and by the way, people watch out when they start talking about the CBDCs, because they're going to use a lot of those buzzwords so that you think it's okay. But a decentralized system that goes around all of these powers that be. And yes, it has definitely diverted people that would have normally just gone to gold, physical gold, which does pull it out of the system, into the crypto world. And when you see what happens with FTX, I mean, we watched Wall Street really take over this crypto market. And I know that there are people that still think that Bitcoin is, different and superior and blah, blah, blah. And even the Bank for International Settlements has a small place in their money flower for private cryptos. Will that ever take over as the dominant monetary crypto? Probably not. Probably not. Because the only functionality that I can really see with it, and believe me, people want me to believe in cryptos. They do, and they try and talk me into it. And here's the thing. What functionality does it have besides being able to hold it on a zip drive and take it somewhere? That's important if you have to flee, but that's what they've done with gold and jewelry and silver for many, 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 many years. So other than that, can you see its functionality?
Well, they'll say, you can transact, you can do exact pricing, it's, break it up into little pieces without having to weigh nugget sizes. I know all their arguments. For example, the Monero guys will say it's private, so it retains that it's non-surveillance money, but that's only as good as the hacking or the computing that they're throwing at that. So everything, all the features can be undermined if you have a dominant force that has the most computing power, the AI, which I would say is your dark states, which they will certainly have. So actually, by going into privacy tokens, I think you might be putting a red flag on your head with various what I'd call three-letter word agencies. So I don't, I personally don't assert and give my full confidence or belief to any of these systems. I
Yeah.
prefer analog. I think we're all going to want analog cars. I think this whole push into ESG is to get us into iPhone cars because they have a battery, it runs a battery, it's like a big surveillance iPhone. that you're riding around in. They can lock you in it and drive you to the police station because you said F the government or something, or did something they didn't like. So I want a good old Defender, old school 4x4 that'll take me off road, the last model before there were any chips and evolved, where a good mechanic can fix it. And I want analog money like gold. That's when I think I've got government out of my life, and I want to have full property rights on a big piece of land where I can self. So I think we're very similar souls, Lynette. I mean, I relate to everything you've said because I'm on a similar journey and I've come to some of the similar conclusions. Obviously, you lose a lot of the convenience. Your security is when you give up security for convenience, you've given up both. But the whole thing is sell for your convenience. This here's Google Maps. Here's whatever, whatever, whatever. And they're all so convenient, and they all do these many things. But you're just spewing. I call it metadata dandruff. It's like it's just coming off here, and unfortunately, that's monetized. That's utilized. It's used against you. You're giving up. You're giving up. You're literally giving up DNA, locale, everything, and. I think we need to push back against an overreaching globalized state that's busy with everything and mining their citizenry at their own. It's a war, in actual fact. They're mining the citizens, and we're at war with our governments. And the other nation's governments that's at war with your government is almost a better government for you, which might mean Russia, Turkey, South Africa is better than being in the States or Europe right now, or UK. And I think people
Well,
need.
I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you really think that it's about them versus us? Or is this a global plan because the whole world is at the end of this experiment? And one of the common things that happen 100% of the time is war. Now, I can't really prove that, but what if that were true? What if it really isn't, oh, that's Russia or that's China and this is the US and this is the EU? What if, since they're all members, all those guys are members of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund? I mean, they get together, they're buddy buddies, they don't have to pay taxes anywhere in the world. What if this isn't a scheme cooked up to distract you? Because I was there in the 70s and I remember the Vietnam War and I was like 17 in 71. So I didn't really understand what was happening with the shift in the global monetary system. But, and with hindsight, oh yeah, I can see it. I can remember my parents and my aunts and uncles sitting around the table and their conversations on Friday nights when they were playing penny poker. So I mean, do you think that's a possibility? Because
I do think a global conflict is highly likely. I do think as part and parcel, there's lots of countries that have been eyeing other parts of countries, and I do think that will be an immense distraction from a financial reset event. I think Bretton Woods followed the 40s. We just had George Gammon on, and he was saying how the current times emulate the 40s a great deal. We all know how that ended in
exactly.
mid 40s. Well, kind of prelude to the 40s, 39, 45, as you know. So there's a lot of parallels, and I think there's a lot of population reduction that goes with the war. There's a lot of I'm not happy with how things went ref the pandemic and everything along that lines. It does feel to me that it would be a great distraction and a cacophony based event that will take us into the potential reset, and it'll keep people so confused and overawed by the rolling events that are coming at you that they'll not know. And of course, it's sufficient chaos for theft, banditry, and various forms of extraction could also occur. War bonds, debt creation, all other many things can get passed in the name of the crisis that could all befall us during the next 6 months that take us to our predicted H1 2023. But Lynette, thank you so much for your time. We've got Brent Johnson waiting in the wings. How do people engage with you and your services and your company? Please give us a lowdown so that many of them that have been really entertained, and we're truly grateful for your time, can come and engage
Oh,
with you.
my pleasure. Well, they can find us on itmtrading.com. We also have an extremely active YouTube channel, so you can either put in ITM Trading or Lynette Zhang, and we have a new site called Beyond Gold and Silver, BGS. So we have that site, and that talks about the rest of the mantra, the food, water, energy, et cetera, as well as a YouTube channel. So we try and meet people wherever they are to help them get fully prepared.
That's absolutely awesome. ITM Trading, that's Igloo Tango Mike trading for Lynette Zhang. What a great lady. What real experience, real study in currency cycles. And she's playing defense, and she's going to make sure her money's still there, whatever comes our way. Thank you so much, Lynette. Have a great time. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. This has been great. You too.